Good morning. I want to welcome everybody on this beautiful Sunday for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements, some in your bulletin, some not. If you take your pad, sign it, name, address, that type of information. If anything has changed, you can fill out an I wish card. Got a new email address or mobile phone. We're putting together the directory. So if you'd like to be included in that, please let us know. The Ash Wednesday service has been canceled. Communion will be held February the 14th, and I will be here for that service to serve communion and to preach, and then I'll be taking 2 weeks off for study leave. And our sympathy goes out to Christine Gill and the family who passed away this past Tuesday, February the 2nd. There will be a luncheon for her following the service that will be here at 11. I know some of you may not know Christine, but she was related to Art and Isabel Mellinger and Kathy Segi. Her mother used to come here, Dorothy. So as far as I know, there's no visitation unless that has changed. And if it does, I'll let you know. Session will meet this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And remind you of your per capita, $29.10, that goes to our local presbytery, the Synod, and the General Assembly for help. So it's a little up from last year, and we ask each person to pay it if they can above their normal tithes and offering, because we pay the whole amount, around $3,000, into presbytery. You can read about the food bank, scripture readers you can sign up for, the winter weather, if something were to happen. Nursery care is available each Sunday next door, and there's a crying room, coughing room through here that you can go to at any time. I send this out on email. Sue Gill's relative, Donald, I hope I'm saying this right, Spurl. I visited last night at Bach. They had it last night from 6 to 8, and they're having it today 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. So for Sue Gill, her relative Donna. And B.J. Morrison sings in our choir, fell and broke her wrist yesterday evening. I got a call about 9:30 last night and passed that down. I'd announced that this might be coming in, but the estate of Mary Ellen Porter, who had been our oldest member, living to 100 years old, her estate has been closed, and a check came in today for $3,098.76. So we thank Mary Ellen and her estate for that. And I announced a couple weeks ago, money came in from the John Rowley estate. So we certainly thank them, helping the church maybe through tough times at times when this memorial money comes in. So I hope that you'll take time and think when you redo your will or do it for the first time that you'll include Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, number 406, My Hope is in the Lord.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for loving us. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. Forgive us when we do not trust you. Help us to step out in faith for your kingdom. Remind us that we can grow in all areas of our lives. Show us how we can plant our spiritual roots deep with study, prayer, and service. Help us to reach our potential as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together as part of the church worldwide as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not familiar with a name, be sure to ask. Thank you. Lovely, lovely. Our responsive reading, Psalm 1, back your hymnals, 690, 690. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Wherever, whatever he does prospers. Together, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This time I asked Elle on the door to come forward to prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. This morning, Lynn and Mike Love are asking for prayers for their son, Cody Carson. He is having some tests at Children's Hospital on Tuesday. Nancy Baldwin is asking for prayers for her co-worker Elaine. Elaine and her family, actually, 2 days after her brother's first grandchild was born, he died suddenly of a heart attack. Muriel Mueller, it's William Bowers' pancreatic cancer. It's a friend of hers. William is home. I'm sorry, does that say Charlotte? Charlotte Teagan, pray for her leg pain. She's a family member, I'm sorry. Sandy Salmon, it's her daughter, Bobby Lynn. Surgery is on Wednesday. Prayers that she comes through okay and gets lots of rest. This is from Kathy Segi. It's for Rachel. She's a volunteer at the Aetna Senior Center. She has been in AFib since April, and lack of communication has made treatment delayed. Prayers, medication, and rest will heal her. Also from Kathy Segi, for the family and friends of Christine Gill, be in prayer that the family find peace, comfort, and understanding during this difficult time. Memorial service and luncheon is Saturday, February 13th. And also for Nancy Baldwin's daughter, Maddie. She fell the other day in school and hit the back of her head and has a concussion again. And then Kathy Segi has a praise request that Albert Swetko, which is her brother, he was laid off for a couple of months and was called back to work. Praise the Lord.
Let us go to the Lord with our prayer requests. Heavenly Father, as the scriptures dictate to us, we come to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that he presents our prayers to you and that you answer them with your love, your understanding, who we are as people, as a church, as a family, as a nation. We thank you for looking out for us, even when we do not realize that you are. And we thank you that we, as a church, can gather together and worship and fellowship and prayer and study and in song. Everything that we do that tries to bring us together is the family of God. Thank you for allowing us to be the church, to pray for one another. So we lift up all these prayer requests to you, thanking you for everything that you do for us. Touch everyone, even who has not been mentioned today, in a very special way, that they might feel your love in their heart, in their spirit. Help us to grow in Christ. Help us to reach out. Help us to trust you with our lives. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Open My Eyes. prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us, to empower us, to help us understand your word, to help us in mission, in all that we try to do as a church here at Glenshaw Valley. Lord, I thank you as the pastor for every gift that is given, every kind word that is spoken, every card that is sent, every telephone call that is made, every ride, every visit, everything that this congregation does. Bless them this day and forever. In the precious name of our Lord, our Savior, and our friend.
As we've gotten more and more into emails and texts, but there's still some people who do not do emails or text. If you would like to be on a list, I call the Rubies this week with some of the announcements. And if you would like to be on a list that is called, please let me know, and I'll put that together, and we'll try to get that done.
Today's reading comes from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in uninhabited salt lands. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is a devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their dealings. Bless the reading and the hearing.
Jeremiah says in his text for the day that there are two kinds of people. One he calls cursed, and other he calls blessed. The life of the cursed, he compares to a low bush in the desert inhabiting a parched, desolate wilderness. The life of the blessed, he compares to a tree planted by the waters that spreads her roots by the river. Her leaf is green. Her fruit is bountiful. Two kinds of people. For one, life doesn't really have meaning. It's an empty kind of life, without hope, without promise. For the other, life has purpose. It is rich, full of promise. It has hope. It has good cheer. If you would like to belong to the first group, the desert, here's what you need to do. Really, absolutely nothing. If you want to live like a low bush in the desert, inhabiting a parched and desolate wilderness, if you want your life to be meaningless and empty and without hope or promise, all we have to do is sit here and do nothing. You do not have to join an organization. You do not have to read your Bible or exercise a single physical, mental, or emotional muscle. You do not have to care about anything or anybody in the world except yourself. It's easy to live in the desert. All you have to do is withdraw into yourself. Make up your mind that you're the only person in the world that really matters. No one else really counts. Spend your life looking out always for number one. Turn your back on any relationship that requires sacrifice or patience or generosity or love or a sense of giving. Put up your guard against anything that might have a commitment in it, or certainly that might have a cross in it. It's easy to be a low bush in the desert. Live only for today, believing nothing that you cannot touch or taste or see or feel. Shut your mind and your heart to any possibility that there might be more to life than what you see or you understand. Allow your mind to be filled with negative assumptions about people, about life, about death, about what is right and what is wrong. The desert life is the easiest kind of existence available to us because it really requires nothing of us. That is why millions of people live as they do in the middle of a parched, dry land, in the middle of the desert. Jeremiah says in the 10th verse of this chapter, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He's talking about our hearts, your heart, and certainly my heart. There's something inside us that is continually trying to lie to us. It tells us that we can ignore all the laws of good health, and we can abuse our bodies in a multitude of ways, and abuse our minds, and abuse our spirit. It tells us that happiness can be purchased. It tells us that we can use other people and ignore their needs and their concerns. It tells us to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. What it does not tell us is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, about having abundant life through our Lord and our Savior. What the corrupt part does not tell us is that we may live a new and that we may live a richer, fuller life. That there is more to life than food to eat or games to play. There's something within me and within you that is continually lying to us about what is real and lasting in a good world. And if we do not watch it, an erosion can take place in our lives. An erosion of values, an erosion of principles and relationships. And all that we will have will be a desert existence. All we have to do for that is sit here and do nothing. On the other hand, if we want to join the other group, like a tree planted by the river, with its roots going deep down and drawing the water and having green leaves, then there are steps that each one of us must take. In God's world, there's no harvest to be reaped unless a seed has been planted. There's no profit without an investment. If I want a strong body, then I need to exercise. If I want an educated mind, then I must study and I must learn. Doing nothing produces a desert. If we want more fruitful and productive lives, there are certain things that each of us need to do. First of all, we really need to trust God. And that can be a hard and difficult thing to do, but that is what we need to do. It's not really enough to worship God, which is a good thing. It's not enough to honor God or to fear God or believe in God, which are all good things, but our lives will be barren. Our lives will not have the abundant, spirit-filled life if we do not learn to put our trust and our faith in God. Not easy to do, but God calls on us to do it. The gospel is true, and if we're going to experience that abundant life, then we're going to have to learn to put our faith and our trust into God. Peter Marshall, a great Presbyterian minister who a movie was made about, I don't recall the name of it, but I'm sure some of you have seen it. He once wrote, "I know that God is far more willing to do things for us than we ask Him. And that is the great mystery. Knowing what I do about God's power and God's willingness to help, I keep on struggling with myself and trying to work things out in my own way, when He could save me all the anxiety and do it better and easier." He says, "I believe God is sad at the sight of so many of us trying to work things out for ourselves. He longs to help us, but we don't let Him. We won't ask Him. And yet God can be trusted. His love for us is an everlasting love. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He is our enabler and the source of all our strength. If we could only but let go and let God. Trust Him not to relieve us from responsibility, but from fear and worry and dread." As the psalmist wrote in 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And as Jeremiah once put it, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him." And we need to let go, and we need to learn to trust God. And we need to see the possibilities that God offers to us. Isn't that what hope is really all about? The possibilities in life and what we can do and what we can become and how we can grow closer to our Heavenly Father? To believe that even in a desert, when things look dire and it's down and it's hard, that we believe that we will find that spring of water from which we can drink. We may not see it with our eyes, we may not feel it with our fingers, but God promises us that it does exist. Christ told the woman at the well that he himself is the source of the life-giving waters. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me drink," you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. "Whoever drinks of this water," he says, "shall never thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never, ever thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." God has some rich possibilities for your life, for your family, and I believe for our church. For one thing, you can learn to genuinely care about people. People that you live with, people that you work with, people that you live near, and people that you attend church with. God can make a new person out of each one of us. He can put a smile back on our lips. He can make your life a blessing to others. He can give you something in life to live for, to work for, to believe in. As Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist, once said, "Many a believer lives in a house of doubt when he might live in a mansion of faith." Why live in a house when you can live in a mansion? Why live in the wilderness when you can be like a tree planted by the living water, drinking of that water? So we all need to let Christ come into our heart, to trust him, to let him show each one of us new possibilities for our lives. Joyce Myers once stated it like this. She says, "For so much of my life, there was just so much turmoil in my life. And it really saddens me to think that all the years that I wasted living this way. I was a Christian. I went to church. But I spent a lot of time being upset about things. I couldn't do anything I spent a lot of time worrying about things that I couldn't do anything about. I experienced feelings of guilt and condemnation much of the times. I had no peace or joy in my life." She goes on to say, "Thankfully, I had a radical transformation. I've developed the habit of trusting God." The choice is ours on how we are going to live. Living as everything depended on us, or if everything depended on our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Two devout, and that's important, two devout Christian men were having a conversation about their business. An important contract was about to expire, and one of the men was all worried. He was upset. He was putting his trust in his own self and getting the contract done. The other man said, "You know, let's look at Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Notice that this blessed person, he said, is blessed in the soul. He trusts God in all circumstances, and he draws nourishment from his faith in God, and he produces a healthy fruit, undaunted by the drought. Doesn't matter if the drought has come. And after spending considerable time discussing this and pondering this passage, he said, "Yeah, but we've got to do all this." Another man said, "I understand that. We do have our part to play. But our first part is not just working harder. It is, first of all, putting our faith and our trust and our belief in God that he will take care of us." So notice that this cursed individual is cool in his heart towards God, having become dependent upon his own ability for survival. He is spiritually dry and impervious to surrounding prosperity, dwelling alone in a dying environment. So one man was not saying that they should not read their Bibles. He was not saying that they should not work hard, that they shouldn't pray. But he was saying that they need to trust God in all areas of their lives, even with their business. Somehow the word struck home with the man, and the weeks that followed, he began to draw nourishment from his daily meditation of the scriptures. An inner peace settled in, and he became calm, and he began to understand the faith and the trust. And he wanted to be not the withered bush, but he decided he wanted to be the healthy tree. So 2 days before the contract would expire, and maybe their business would have gone under, the contract was signed with work for years and years to come. Learn to trust his faith. Learn to trust and put his faith in his heavenly Father. So there are two kinds of people. So I ask you, I ask myself, which are we? Are we the withering bush in the desert? Or are we, and at least do we want to be, the tree planted by the stream who puts its roots deep and draws that water and has the green leaves and has the bountiful fruit? That is a decision that you can make as an individual, and it is a decision that we can make as a church here at Glenshaw Valley. The key is to relax, to trust God. So may God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 411, The Joy of the Lord. Just want to remind you, next Sunday is communion, so I hope that you can come out and maybe invite a friend.
As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, I hope that you're going in your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, everything that you are as a human being. And as a Christian, you'll decide that I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. I am going to learn to place my trust and my faith in Him who created the heavens and the earth. Brought about the gift of salvation. As you go from here, go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.